And there was a firefight!
Why did you touch me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Yo, welcome all y'all motherfuckers to Capes and Scowls, episode 13! I'm Lou.
I'm Tim, are you still there?
I'm Leander. What the hell just happened?
Well, variety is the spice of life, and Lou just did our intro.
All right.
Welcome everybody, Capes and Scowls, episode 13. And this is
I'm sorry,
I believe I said it was episode 13.
I can still welcome them!
That's a little awkward.
Okay,
but,
well, we have an intro segment and a welcome segment.
Right.
How do we say welcome?
Okay. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, sorry.
I got it. So, we are on Facebook. We can be emailed at capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com. We're on YouTube. With some very entertaining and knowledgeable videos, mm-hmm. if you want to actually see what the hell we're talking about, and maybe it'll make you a little more interested in what we're talking about. Our website is capesandscowlspodcast.com, and I recently got a Twitter.
Yeah.
I got a Twitter specifically for the podcast, and I've already reached out to a ton of nice chaps.
That's
and my handle is @mad_dog_Tim. And Lou's like, he's like, what a dumb name. Well,
I didn't call it dumb.
No, you called it gay. But anyways.
Wow. You know, we can start this right now.
Drunk Lou is really a gay basher.
I know. I've already heard. I already know the stories, Lou. I get it. It's fine.
There's no stories.
It's fine.
Tell him the story, Lou.
I've heard multiple people tell me the same thing. It's just the thing you do. It's okay.
That is bullshit. I do not want our listeners.
He's not sensitive when he's drunk.
That I'm some drunken homophobe.
Even if you are, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it matters.
You're not drunken all the time, so I love you when you're not drunk.
Yeah, but murderers don't kill people all the time. They just do it a couple times, it only takes a couple times.
You said it, not me.
Lou's not a homophobe of any kind.
No, he isn't.
Thank you. God.
But Mad Dog Tim is what Dave on the video
game. Mad Dog Tim!
Yeah, no, it's a horrible name, and that's why I did embrace it. Because Dave always calls me that on the video game podcast, Wily's Castle. So, what's new? Who wants to go first? I got all kinds of shit that happened to me.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I'm still reeling from these false accusations.
All right. Well, Leander, how are you? Let's start with you, then.
I'm great. Let's see. What am I doing? Improv comedy is awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've gone to 2 shows in a row now. And yesterday, I went out last night, and the cast invited me out to go to O'Shea's in Philly to go do karaoke with them. And they were like, you should do improv comedy. It seems like right up your alley. I'm like, all right, maybe I should. So I might go take some free classes they have offering. There's actually 2 reasons you might want to do this. 1, because you actually think you might be good at it. And 2, it's actually just an easy way of making new friends and meeting new people. Which is probably the more important aspect to me, you know. Although I do love improv in general. Like, I really enjoy public speaking, and I actually took public speaking 1 and 2 in college. And in public speaking 2 is when you do improv speaking, where you pretty much just pull something out of a bag and say, talk, go for it. And I loved it. I used that every single time. Every time I had to script something, fail. fail every single time.
He's off the cuff.
I'm off the cuff.
Off the cuff.
I feel like improv seems really, really fun, but I also see it as like something you probably have to work really hard at to actually... Because it's hard to be funny in general. A lot of people aren't funny, but improv comedy, I feel like you really have to work at it, and like it's really an art. You know?
I think I'd be more into that than stand-up for sure. So I like kind of just... going with the flow, and normally there's someone else with you on stage. So in this particular case, there were sets of like it's a group, a traveling group of people. So it's normally like six or seven people on stage,
like a troupe.
And you know, two people are going at it, or three or four at one single time. So I loved it. I had a great time.
It is cool. It is a different dynamic than stand up because you have people there that can save you. If you're clearly just got nothing, they can kind of antagonize you into something.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the idea.
Yeah, there were some people that weren't so good though, because and not being good at improv really means to me, from what I've seen so far, A, you don't know how to jump on the stage and just be a part of it, because you end up sitting on the sidelines and never actually being part of the group. So you're like, you're awkwardly looking at someone who is afraid to get on the stage with everyone else.
Right.
Or two, you try it and you just don't know where to go. You're just floundering and everyone knows you're floundering. You're like, oh, this is horrible. This kid doesn't know what he's doing. Or her. I would say that my favorites so far were the females. The females were the best at the improv so far I've seen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that does remind me. I saw friend of the show, Ryan Young, do some stand-up last night at an open mic.
Nice. And he killed it?
Yeah, he did. He did well. He's tried some new stuff, which I which I liked. You know, good. It was an open mic, so they only get about like 4 or 5 minutes.
Right.
But yeah, he had some new material that I really liked. So
nice.
When are you going to get back up there?
Never. I am never doing stand-up again.
Such a waste. You've already put up the title. You just put it in the case and now you're done.
It's not a waste. It's a total waste. Yeah, it was a challenge. I got up there. I did my thing.
You have more than 5 minutes of material. I've heard it.
Yeah, but, you know, that's okay. It was just that that block of fear I had to overcome. And now, you know, if I were hit by a car tomorrow and I was sitting there in the middle of the street, I can't say... I never did stand-up comedy.
I like how you turned into a 90-year-old man and you got hit by that car.
Well, I mean, the car probably did a lot of damage to
bleeding.
Right.
I like to pretend that you were an old man in that story.
Got hit by the time car. So look out.
Look out,
whoa,
people.
There's a super villain. He just hits you with his car.
Makes
you old.
Oh,
geez.
It's kind
of so
awesome.
Even if like you live through it, you're like too feeble to get him. That's
come
really
back here, you whippersnapper.
That's his name, the whippersnapper.
No, the whippersnapper is what the old people call him. He's got. I'll think of a good name before we leave.
Okay,
I'm gonna have a good name for that guy.
I like it.
And Tim?
Well, I've had a bunch of things. I had some dental work today, which has not impaired my speaking, thank God. My wife made me go to the dentist after 15 years of not going to the dentist.
15 years?
15 years.
That's gotta be a record.
Here's the thing, right?
You're disgusting.
How
no.
is she even making out with you? How is she even going inside your mouth and
yeah, Tim, how is your wife going inside your mouth?
Not frequently. Here's the thing, right? I don't like doctors, dentists, none of that, right? And she's been making
me go... Did you get
hit
by the time car? I don't care for them doctors!
Well, she makes me
bunch of quacks.
Well, I mean, look at it from my point of view. She makes me go to the doctor. Oh, you have cancer. Oh, she makes me go to the doctor. You're fat. I'm like, come on. She makes me go to the dentist. You have cavities. I'm like, come on. You're killing me.
She's letting other people say what she can't say herself.
I guess that's what it is. She's paying doctors to humiliate me. But the reason I have never gone to the dentist in these 15 years is because I had a horrible traumatic experience the last time I went to the dentist. I had to have just not a lot of surgery back here because I had a tooth growing into the other teeth. So they had to, like, correct it.
Yeah. Impacted teeth?
Yes. Yeah. So... Wow. The doctor I had was a complete piece of shit. They numbed me. It didn't take.
Oh.
And he started drilling, and I couldn't tell him because I'm just like drowning in blood because it makes a... Yeah, your eyes tell the story. And so it was like 20 minutes of not being numbed and being drilled half to death. So I hate the dentist.
Now, here's what... Now, this is a lesson for you in case this happens again.
Sure, murder
your hands to ball ratio... It's right there. You can just grab it and just
crunch it. Just go for the sack.
Just you crunch
I think he's trying to tell us something.
Is that your go-to?
I mean, if I'm
it's
strapped...
It's the most effective way.
If I'm strapped into a dentist and he has to walk past, his nuts have to go past my hands in order to go around. They are not making it.
That's a sure way. Like... It's the most, if that's the first thing you do, that's the most effective thing.
We're going to communicate through your ball sack right now.
I don't know. No, I don't know about that.
Morse code and shit. SOS.
Yeah, but then, like, what the fuck? But then, right, let's say I do that, right?
Yeah.
Let's say I grab the balls and stop them. And I explain what's going on. What are they going to do? They're going to put me the fuck under on gas or something? Okay. Then my balls are free game. I'm not defending my balls.
A revenge balling.
Revenge balling.
You're worried about your balls at that point?
I'm very worried about my balls at all times.
Blood hole in my mouth. You know, you're not going to feel shit anyway when you wake up, and then you're going to get sweet, sweet, sweet painkillers.
Yes.
So your balls will be fine. He's a professional.
It's just a lesson learned. Lesson learned. Please continue with your story.
Well, anyways, now I have a female dentist, so no ball grabbing is going to save me.
Oh, shit. We didn't think of that.
Yeah. Awkward. But she's very good.
I didn't know they could be
dentists.
Thus far.
That's weird.
just messing.
I'm way more comfortable with losing homophobia.
Hey!
But one more thing happened to me. This is funny. Believe me, this is funny in the end. So my dog bit my son. My dog is not a bad dog, but scenarios happen. This is the second person my dog has bit. My dog bit me the first time.
Right.
When I was trying to get her in her cage when somebody rang the doorbell and being an asshole at the door, she bit me to try to go there.
Right. Which makes sense. Sometimes they bite you on your leg or something. Where did she bite you again? I'm sorry.
Right above my eye. Because my head was right near hers.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
So my son... just let me fucking talk, you prick. My son... was walking my dog in the backyard. Mm-hmm. The neighbor let his dog out. That dog is a piece of shit that barks at my dog all the time.
Sure, right.
Pretty much pulls my son over to the gate. They're going at it,
of
right?
Course.
My son makes the mistake of getting between them instead of just leaving them be so that the guy can come out and get his dog. The guy's hard of hearing, so like he doesn't realize any of this. So he gets in between. My dog bit his finger. Mm-hmm. It was bad enough to go to the hospital, but not really bad. So every time you have a dog bite incident, you have to report it, and they make a note of it, and as long as you're comfortable with the dog's fine. But they send you, they're like, if that dog bites anybody in 10 days kind of thing, we're going to come and murder your dog. Mm-hmm. And like, so I get this thing in the mail from the county, and it has this weird line in it that I wrote down, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Like, I get it, dogs, they're checking for rabies, you got bit by, no problem. Here is a quote from what they send. If the animal shows any behavioral changes or dies within the 10-day confinement. Now, that's a big window. Behavioral change or dies. If the animal shows any behavioral changes or dies within the 10-day confinement, the head of the animal will be transported to the New Jersey State Health Department laboratory. And I'm like... wait a minute. Hold on. If my dog is all of a sudden mopey, you're going to come with your voodoo headhunters from the state and cut my dog's head off and transport it? What if I want my dog's head back? What do you do? Do you just have taxidermy dog heads all over the office?
Oh,
yeah. So it is a very strange little... document I have from the State Department.
That sounds like the worst state job, dog head collector.
Dog beheading.
I'm like, this is like a dude in a hood come in with a massive axe. He's like, I heard your dog has been kind of sad. I'm gonna take the head.
Get the guillotine truck.
So I've been joking with my dog that if she doesn't fight, she gets one more striker, they're taking your head.
Seriously.
Off with your head.
But that's kind of fucking wacky. Like, that's an official document that I can produce at any time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what? You're going to take my dog's head?
I knew about that, actually.
If the dog dies and you want to take the dog's head, I get that a little more than if your dog has a weird behavior. Like, I don't know. She's licking her ass too much. I guess you're taking her head, right? So I don't know. So I was thinking of writing them a letter, maybe a blood letter, just pretending like they already have my dog and just asking for the dog's head back. I thought that'd be kind of fun.
What if you get one?
That's fine.
We will post pictures to Tim's Twitter at Mad Dog Tim.
Mad Dog, indeed.
Don't forget the underscores. So that is that. So that's it. That's it for my my life right now.
I thought of a name for the villain here.
Sure.
The Geriatrickster.
Oh. All right.
It's all right. It's not great.
Stir or like trickster?
Geriatrickster.
Okay.
So right. It's kind of both. Kind of mash them together.
Yeah.
I think you should name his car too.
Well, it's, yeah.
Sure.
Because the car's part of it.
The car, yeah.
His car should have a name like Duke or.
I don't know if that makes any sense. Ghost Rider's motorcycle doesn't have a name.
I bet he named it though.
I bet
like in his mind it's like Betsy or something.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, you know. They got to bring back
that motorcycle alone. It has a girl's name. You trust me.
I'm sure it does.
Or a dude's name. Or whatever.
Whatever he's into.
I mean, they've shown him to like women, but whatever. So let's get into the news. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yep,
all right. So the biggest news story to come out as of the moment is that Spider-Man is allowed to be in both the Sony movie universe and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
That is really big news. How do you guys feel about that? Because I have my opinions.
I'm indifferent. I assume the only reason that they're doing this is for the Civil War situation.
That would be best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan. Hey, bring them all in. Just work it out, guys. Get everyone in there.
That's what I feel like
wants to see anyway.
Right.
I feel like whatever, and I'm pretty sure Andrew Garfield's going to be out now as Spider-Man. Like he's done for both sides.
Really.
I'm under that impression. It's not confirmed, but that's like
it seems like what they do. They usually be like, okay, Scorch it's Earth. A new thing. Right. We're going to recast them.
So that being said, I almost wish the Marvel side of it would just cast him and make the most successful Spider-Man movie ever. Because I feel like whatever Sony does, unless it's like the most amazingly written story, people aren't going to be as into it. And anything that the Marvel side of it does is going to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Who did the original Spider-Man?
Sony. The Tobey Maguire ones?
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, that was...
Well, what if they wrote like Tobey Maguire?
He's a little old for it.
Yeah, I don't think...
Too old?
Yeah.
Can't do it.
He's still a good actor, and he's done great things since then that no one's heard of.
Right.
Like Predators. Just kidding.
Was he in Predators?
Yeah.
Really?
No, I'm thinking of that guy from that 70s show.
Topher Grace.
Yeah. Mm. I get those guys confused because they're both like, you know, little pussy actor guys.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not to be...
It's rough, man. but I think it's really good. They've kind of moved around some release dates for upcoming movies because of this news. So maybe Spider-Man's going to make a cameo at the end of like Black Panther or something,
sure,
or one of the more.
Cool.
Which
that's
will
fine.
Be good.
I'm also fine with him as a support character. Like I think we got enough movies of Spider-Man.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like just throw him into part of the team.
He probably
he's the
will.
Comic relief and the cool, dexterous guy. You
right.
know, let him just have a supporting role and stop making origin stories.
He will probably. I mean, from a money perspective, why not make him his own solo movie too? Late into the run, but they're probably going to insert him into Avengers, and they would like him for Civil War.
If it's a solo movie that isn't rehashing his origin, that'd be fine. Like if they introduce him in the bigger
right.
Marvel movies, and then
yeah.
they're like, "Here's mm-hmm. just a solo movie," but it's not like I got bit by a spider
yeah,
again.
We don't need that again.
And, and it would be nice if it was a follow up to something that happened already
yeah.
on Avengers or Black Panther or whatever.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think they're going to rush a scene and throw it at the end of Avengers 2? Because they could.
Yeah, they could. That's fine.
Surprise cast somebody and throw him in at the end?
Yeah.
Why not? Or maybe make a hint of him at the end? Maybe he's in the background,
Avengers
shadowy. 3. No, 2. 2's next.
I thought Avengers 2 already came out.
Ultron?
Yeah.
Ultron has not happened.
Oh, yet. Captain America happened. All
right,
yeah. Never mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
How are you on this podcast?
I don't even know, people. I don't even know.
He's not for long. Straight 2. No.
Straight 2.
But the big debate, and what I think Marvel should do, the Marvel side of it, I think they should do Miles Morales. I don't think they should do Peter Parker.
Yeah, sure.
I think it'd be fresher. I think people would care a little more. That's my personal opinion. How do you feel? You care?
I mean, how many people are up to date on Miles Morales, though? I mean, this is what I feel. I feel like they're going to do it, and then people are like, oh, Black Spider-Man, randomly.
But they already did that. We already had the debate when he came out in the comics. And
it was I know. I agree, but the movies are bigger than the comics.
Yeah, but everybody, but no one, like, read the comics. Everyone just heard, like, oh, Black Puerto Rican Spider-Man, and then it was an issue. So I don't think it's going to be an issue again. Like, I think all the Glenn Beck types got it out of their system.
Sure.
Because those people get over things, right?
No.
Yeah.
But you're right.
South will rise again.
But.
Oh, man.
I think it should be Miles Morales. I would love, in my perfect dream world, when they first announced that they were going to reboot Spider-Man years ago, Donald Glover said he wanted to be Spider-Man. The black guy from, was it Community? Who's also a comedian, and he's also a rapper. And he's just weirdly good at all of those things. But, like, he made that joke, just like, hey, I'll be Spider-Man, just, like, as a gag. And everybody's, like, got behind him, like, yeah, let's make him Spider-Man. Like, the internet was like, yes. Because they're like, oh, he could just be Miles Morales. I still want that. Because he looks like the character.
That's funny.
He would be, it would be so awesome. Yeah, but he looks, he's such a scrawny little dude.
Sure.
I think it'd be great if they actually made him Miles Morales in the Marvel U. Or the Sony version. I don't give a shit. I just think it'd be like people would actually be have interest in it because of its origin in the interwebs.
I agree.
It'd be cool if they were if he was cast as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah, that's something they could do. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they're alluding to at the end of the Ultimates universe anyways, that he was going to join the S.H.I.E.L.D. team.
Right. And that being said, as far as the comics go, I think that this is a good opportunity because they're going to do this weird reboot, not a reboot thing. They should make a team book of Spider-Man characters. I think they should do that. You could have, because you don't have to have just, you could have Peter Parker and Miles Morales in the same universe. You could have the Spider-Man 2099. You could have Spider-Gwen and Silk and all these characters.
I will say,
if you made it like an X-Men style book with all these Spider characters.
But don't they all do the same thing?
No.
They're just agile and they swing around.
But here's the thing, though. They are doing a good job of doing that already in Spider-Verse. I actually have started. I want the trade of Spider-Verse. Like, I haven't picked it up.
Me too.
But what I've flipped through, I've really enjoyed all those different Spider characters together, and I'm like, I want the trade immediately.
Right. So I'm saying, if you have Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, and Silk, there's three strong female Spider-oriented characters plus the 2099, Superior. Miles, Peter, and I would throw in one oddball fucking one,
the
British one, or Spider-Ham, whatever the fuck.
Spider-Ham.
Yeah, Spider-Ham on a team. And throw them into this universe and have an X-Men-style book for Spider-Man.
Sure.
I think it would be really good.
I'm down.
You can have that, Marvel. You can take that.
Yeah.
It's for you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep moving, because we got more news, and we've talked a lot. I guess that's what we do, but whatever. DC news. After Convergence, their big event that is coming up, they're going to have 24 new titles. Other titles are going to get the axe. Others are going to turn into other books. Some of these are really fucking weird.
So is this the end of New 52?
This will be the end of the New 52. They will take that off the books. They will no longer call it the New 52, which I think it's about damn time they did. It's almost been, what, 4 years now or something? Mm-hmm. So I have the list of the 24 books, and we'll go through them real quick. Batman Beyond will be an ongoing series. Batmite is going to get a 6-issue miniseries. Bizarro will get a 6-issue miniseries. Black Canary, Constantine the Hellblazer, Cyborg, Dark Universe, Green Lantern Lost Army, Doomed, Earth 2 Society, Dr. Fate, a 6-issue miniseries for Harley Quinn and Power Girl, Justice League of America, Justice League 3001, Martian Manhunter, Midnighter, which is the openly gay character that I couldn't think of on the last podcast, and you ripped me a new asshole for.
Yeah.
Mystic U, I have no idea what that is. Omega Men. Prez. Prez was a book in the 70s where there was a teenage president. It was the dumbest fucking thing ever and could have only happened in the 70s. It is happening again. I don't understand how that can be.
It's
one of the more where people are like, what the fuck?
Kind of, I don't know. Sounds
so
funny.
Search the $2 bins, people, and get Prez number one.
Yeah.
Red Hood and Arsenal. Robin, Son of Batman. Section 8 is a 6-issue mini. There are apparently characters that exist in the DCU that no one's ever fucking heard of, but it's going to be written by Garth Ennis. That alone makes me want to get it.
Jeez.
Jeez. He's actually going to write a Secret Wars story as well for Marvel. So he's writing for both big two at the same time, which is not common at all. And Starfire and We Are Robin. A team of Robin characters, I guess. Does any of that strike you as a good idea from what you heard that you can remember from my list?
I'm into Prez.
Prez sounds great. I'm buying Prez. Prez is going to be fucking god-awful. So from this, Batman Beyond getting his own title, he's a main character in Future Zone. That makes sense to me. The miniseries or whatever, you can do miniseries, right. And if they bomb, they're miniseries.
Yeah.
Black Canary, I'm not surprised with the success of Arrow. Constantine the Hellblazer, I'm sure they're just going to end Constantine, make it this. Calling it Hellblazer might be a good idea because there's rumors that, I believe it's NBC, is not renewing Constantine, but there's talks it's going to get shipped over to the Sci-Fi Network and just be called Hellblazer. That might be a good idea. Cyborg, I'm surprised it's taken this long for him to get a solo book. Dark Universe is pretty much just Justice League Dark, renamed. Green Lantern, Lost Army, I don't know. Doomed, I don't know. Dr. Fate, I'm surprised.
But just to be clear, so the other New 52 titles are going to continue?
Many of them, not all of them.
Because they're obviously not axing Batman and Superman and all that. But they're just continuing with their current continuity. And issue numbers in addition to these books.
Earth 2 is ending and becoming Earth 2 Society. The Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern New Guardians are both ending, but you're getting a new Green Lantern book that may be something to do with that Lost Army book. Batman and Robin is going to end, and I guess We Are Robin is the one replacing it.
Right. Or Son of whatever.
So. Red Hood and the Outlaws is ending. There's going to be Red Hood and Arsenal book, and there's also a Starfire book. So I don't know how they're ending, but it looks like they're parting ways. I like the idea. I like that they went a little out of the box. It might just be as simple as like, hey, we don't want to lose the rights to these characters. Let's just make a new book with them. Like Omega Men is a book from the 80s, maybe 70s. Yeah. Prez, again, I don't know why they wouldn't want to lose that, but...
Can't lose Prez.
Oh, no.
He's the coolest president ever.
Dark Universe makes sense.
I hope it's set in the 70s.
It's not.
These bills are groovy, man.
Because how is he still a president?
Well, it's a she now. It's going to be a she character.
Oh, so it's a new Prez.
It's just a whole... They're just reinventing the character, but same idea.
Okay.
Like, the image that they
president
sent...
of what?
The United States.
Wait, did you really get that?
I mean, I did, but I didn't. I didn't want to.
I didn't want to think that the idea was that stupid.
I've actually gone through.
Mr. President, what's up, dude? Call me Prez.
It's really awful. Like, you gotta find a few issues and look at them.
Yeah,
They're pretty fucking bad. Like, not even like, ugh, this is old and I don't get it, doesn't connect with me. Right. No, this is just bad. Fucking bad.
Yeah.
A Black Canary apparently is in a punk rock band, too. That's the other thing.
Okay.
She's the lead singer of a punk rock band.
Yeah. Sure.
Why not?
Okay with that.
So that's it for that. I think it's a good idea overall. I think it's a good idea to just try different things. You might not... I mean, fuck, Prez might be the greatest fucking thing ever. I don't know. Probably not.
We could put some money on it.
No, we can't. So moving on, Vertigo is releasing Mad Max comics that are going to coincide with the release of the new Mad Max movie. The director and some other people from the movie are actually going to write the books. They're called Mad Max Fury Road. It'll be a 4-issue miniseries. And then there's going to be Mad Max Fury Road Inspired Artists, which is a lot of DC artists drawing Mad Max stuff for the movie. It's just 65 different artists. It's basically an art book. The art looks amazing. You have to really fucking like Mad Max is what it comes down to. The book might be okay. I don't know. The movie might be okay. I don't know. But that's worth mentioning because it's Vertigo instead of it just being DC.
Right.
So it might actually be edgy dark and might actually have the correct tone.
Yeah, I think, you can do really cool stuff with that, the Mad Max, IP, but it has to be appropriately post-apocalyptic and
correct
dark.
Some of the artists I really like, but nobody that jumps out at me other than Lee Bermejo, who does all painted art.
Okay.
He did the Joker book, he did a Lex Luthor miniseries back in the day, he works a lot with Brian Azzarello, so he's done some cool stuff. IDW is relocating its headquarters on June of 2015. And what is interesting of it is it's just a normal corporate, hey, new building. We need a new building. It's going to be an old Navy barracks that's in San Diego. It's going to be huge. And the cool thing of it, because, like, who gives a fuck about where their corporate office is? They're going to make a comic art gallery that the public can go to, featuring art of all different people that is open to the public. And they're just adding that to their building.
That's, but is it all, like, IDW property art? Or is it going to be, like, kind of a museum from, like, artists right. from all over?
Right. Well, I'm assuming it's going to include some Marvel, because IDW has a deal with Marvel where they do, like, these artist-proof books. And it's like, hey, Walter Simonson did Thor in the 80s. Here's his books. It's really weird, because they're from IDW, but they're clearly Marvel art.
Right.
So there's some deal there. But that might be really cool stuff to be in this gallery. So while I don't have a ton of ideas about that, we'll find out in the future. But I'm assuming they're going to include that kind of stuff in there.
I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, like Lou said, if it's limiting to just IDW, I wouldn't be into that.
But if it's free to the public kind of thing,
then we should go. We should go. We should take a trip.
Where is it again?
San Diego,
go on
buddy.
Tour.
Take this donkey show on the road. Next story, Leander. This is for you and me, buddy.
All right.
Planet Hulk is going to get a tie-in series for Secret Wars. Okay. I don't know how long it's going to run. I don't know anything about it. Right. Except for the characters involved.
Stop your mouth.
This is going to be great. Steve Rogers,
yeah.
Who is not old in this art,
I'm sure,
is going to be teaming with an unspecified version of the Hulk to battle a planet of Hulks. And the art features him riding around on a character.
On a character.
Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Our
serious?
Favorite character, Devil Dinosaur, will be in this book.
That's
there
funny.
Is some sketches of it
wow.
online that
Devil
you can
Dinosaur.
See. So it's Steve Rogers, kind of Conan-esque, with a shield and a spear, riding around on Devil Dinosaur to fight Hulks. You don't see the Hulk. You don't know what version of Hulk it is. There's a very loose plot, but
yeah,
there is art
like
of
it.
That. Very loose. so that is that. But I thought that was great. Yeah. I will check it out just because I love Devil Dinosaur.
If they bring back Devil Dinosaur for the new reboot.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Or would it? Because he's a dinosaur.
Yeah, I don't really get
it. He's pretty much just a dinosaur.
Yeah, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah, no, it's like, fuck the dinosaur again.
Yeah. There could be different versions of dinosaurs.
They bring back Devil Dinosaur, they start messing with his DNA, you got Jurassic Park kind of shit happening in the Marvel U.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
One last story is there will be a new team for New Suicide Squad. Starting with issue 9. They keep rotating these very quickly, but I don't know if I'm against that. I don't read the book. The book sells out all the time. The book is red hot. The new team is going to be Parasite, Black Hand, Poison Ivy, Reverse Flash, Cheetah, and one of the Talons from Court of Owls. That will be your new team. 6 members. I think it's a really cool team for a couple reasons. I love Parasite. He's a Superman villain. All he does is drain energy and becomes big and crazy. Poison Ivy's whatever, Reverse Flash, whatever, you know them. Cheetah is a Wonder Woman villain. And the Talon is kind of like, well, what is it, just one random dude? The Black Hand is the part I like. Green Lantern villain. But the thing I like about him is he is able to bring people back from the dead. So if they're going on crazy suicide missions and one of them gets shot in the face, the Black Hand can immediately bring them back.
But bring them back, what's the stipulation?
I don't know.
Zombies?
I mean, he's done zombies in the past. I don't know if it's going to be like, all right, now every team of zombies, go. I don't think that's what it'll be.
No, it wouldn't make sense.
I mean, I don't know how his powers work. Is maybe specifically like, hey, if your head gets blown off in front of me, I reattach it, reassemble it, and you're good to go again. Because, like, in the Blackest Night in particular, like, he was raising the dead and making them go do things. As opposed to, hey, you're a fresh corpse, you've just expired, go. So I'm not sure. But I feel like if they put him on this team, it's to be gruesome and do horrible shit.
Right.
So that he can just keep bringing people back.
Awesome.
The writer is Sean Ryan. And we'll see. But there's a teaser image of the characters in front of, like, a... in like a police station lineup kind of thing. It's pretty cool.
Well, can I interrupt you for a sec?
Dude, you can take the floor.
I literally just got a text
that
says, from my good friend, Joe, yo, Capes and Scales is surprisingly good. Exclamation point. While we're podcasting.
What? Thank you, Joe.
Oh, yeah, Joe. Thanks, Joe.
You're the best.
He is the best.
Is it your brother, Joe?
No.
Okay.
Joe. He listens as well, though.
Okay.
Big up to both Joes.
What's up, Joe? If your name's Joe and you're listening...
Yeah. You know what? Let's put this one out to all the Joes out
there.
All
the Joes.
All the Joes in Radio
Average
Land.
Joes. Common Joes.
Joe Schmoes. All of you.
Thank you.
So that's it for the news, guys.
All right.
You guys ready to review crap?
Yeah.
Let's review crap.
Literally. All right. I have a bunch of stuff.
What? I have one.
All right. I have, as usual, I have one.
And I haven't even read mine.
Why don't you do two?
Sure.
At the same time.
I have two quick ones.
Okay, all do right. two quick ones, and then we'll go around the end. Well, I never.
What? Not on this podcast. This institution. First and foremost, I want to review this hat. This hat is fucking amazing.
It is.
Okay?
He's got a great hat.
So, talked about it yet.
I was thinking about talking
to
you.
Me too.
But there was no good time. We had so much news, I didn't be like, sure. Tim, can we just put the brakes on this news a second and talk about your hat?
We could. My hat I'm currently wearing is a winter hat, a knit hat. It is an Iron Fist hat.
Mm-hmm.
It's an official Marvel hat, and it's put out by New Era. New Era makes amazing fucking hats. I worked in a hat store. I know all the different things about hats.
Motherfucker knows hats.
I know hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered the hat. It's like a $20 hat. I'm like, oh, paying that for a hat. This hat fits my giant fucking head, it covers my fucking ears, and it's fucking awesome. Sure, nobody knows Iron Fist. I've been asked if I like the Wu-Tang Clan, and I said they're nothing to fuck with. That's not the point. The point is, the hat is amazing. So, without even seeing other Marvel hats, there's a whole line of them for New Era. As far as the knit hats, I can vouch they're pretty good. I'm assuming the regular hats are similar to their sports team hats. They're probably also pretty amazing. If you already like New Era hats, it's safe to say you're going to like these. Nice. This hat is amazing, and there's a whole line of them, so check them out.
I like it.
All right, my other quick review. I don't want to go too long into this because we've talked about the previous issue of Thor on a previous minisode. They don't reveal who female Thor is yet, but they do something you personally are going to like.
Here we go.
He's pointing at Leander.
I am pointing at Leander.
Not me.
Yes.
As usual.
But, no, you are going to love this.
Because you're just always united.
Right. All right.
So this is a ton of fucking talking, this issue. But I was never bored. Mm-hmm. It's a ton of setup. It is basically Odin like, fuck this bitch. Why does she have the hammer? She stole the hammer. Somebody tell me who she is. Everybody's trying to, all his visions, and they're trying to figure it out. No one, he's pissed. No one can figure it out. Fucking pissed. And the whole time, Thor, male Thor, and Freya are, like, talking shit on him. They're like, come on, just calm the fuck down. Who gives a shit? He's like, whatever, let her have the hammer. He's like, you're a dick. That's your hammer. You know? And he's like, total dickhead Odin. Mm-hmm. Like, ultra dickhead, more than normal. So, Thor decides, male Thor, Odinson, decides he wants to figure out who it is. He has a list of who he thinks it could be. He goes to Lady Sif in a bar, and he's trying to interrogate her without tipping her off, which he fucking fails at miserably, and she beats the living shit out of him. But he's still not convinced it's not her. He's trying to place where everybody is. Now, as you know, he's going down his list. Who do you think's at the bottom of his list?
The very bottom of the list.
Which doesn't mean it's not this. This list had Jane Foster on it.
Okay.
It had Sif.
Loki.
It had Freya, but crossed off.
Is it Loki?
Loki is still on his list.
All right.
Even though there was a romantic kiss between the two, and we were kind of like, well, they missed the point here. They could have done Loki. It could have been transgender, all of that you wanted. Mm-hmm. Loki is still on his list.
Hell yeah.
Which I think is awesome of Jason Aaron to put that in there. Because it's like... Yeah, no, Loki, he's a trickster god. He might do that to
him. He's been a chick before.
Yeah,
he was a chick in the 2006 run.
Yeah. Yep.
And he looked good, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's looking fine.
Hey, that Loki.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the main point of me even reviewing this
again
after just reviewing
the last one. Right.
It was a very good issue. The art changed.
Does female Thor ever come up? In this issue, is it really more about Thor?
No, she's in it. Thor. She's in it. She actually fights Absorbing Man and Titana. And it's really... I didn't like how that fight ended. It was weird. Basically, she breaks Absorbing Man's jaw. He's kind of like, you're not Thor. what are you, Lady Thunderstrike? He's, like, making fun of her. She's like, you're not Thor. I know Thor. And then, like, she ends up breaking his jaw, and then she has to fight Titana. And she pretty much knocks out Absorbing Man herself.
Right.
And she's like, we can go to jail. It's cool. Like, they just, like, have a sit-in. She's like, whatever. Just hit me really hard. We'll go down. She goes, what the hell are you talking about? She's like, when he is out of prison, his eye kind of wanders, because they're an item. She's like, I think some time would do him good. You know, just understand that, you know, next time I'm going to fuck you up, is essentially what happens. And I'm like, I didn't like it. It was weird. I disliked it. I'm like, I'd rather her just beat somebody, just win. Yeah. Clear cut.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. So those are my two quick little reviews. That's it.
Go ahead. All right.
Go ahead.
Am I going?
Sure.
All right. So I'm reviewing a book about lesbian porn. So I don't know if you guys are into this or not, but
the story of this is, you love Steven Sajak.
Yes, enough.
Whatever you say.
Enough.
And I was like, hey, we have another book by him. I haven't read it, but I pointed it out to you, and you're like, well, I'm going to buy it.
Right. I'm going to do it for Steven.
You're not the target demographic.
So for Steven, I have to see a lot of naked women having sex.
We flip through this book, I'm like, I don't think you're the target demographic.
Now,
so you're the best one to review it. You can give the most objective version of this.
Yeah,
the
so I haven't read it completely. It's the whole trade.
I don't think anyone's ever gotten past, like, you know, the middle of the book, right? That's the point.
It's all stuck together.
It got shipped that way from the distributor. What the hell is this?
What are you saying? You didn't finish it?
No, but, other people. So anyways, it's a trade.
We were hoping we had all the money on you to get to the end of this book. And if you can't do it, nobody can.
I'm going to get to the end, except for there's a lot of talking.
Just blank pages at the end.
There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking in my lesbian porn that I hate.
I'm reading the trade
of... I'm almost spit coffee all over the mic.
Volume 1 trade of Sunstone is the name of it, and it's written, produced, and everything else by Steven Sajak. And really what it's about is this kind of writer is retelling her story of her one love that she's had. And her one love was basically a freak in bed. And trying to help people understand that, yeah, sure, there was a lot of bondage and a lot of, you know, handcuffs and stuff like that. But that's not the point of the relationship. But yeah, we're all freaks in our own way when it comes to getting into bedtime. We just don't talk about it out loud, right? So this is her way of trying to express her story out to everyone to help people understand her transition from, like, the super shy. It's basically 50 Shades of Grey. But
yeah, you were just doing such a good job at trying to legitimize this book. That, I don't know.
But again, I haven't read it enough. And first of all, I don't know much about 50 Shades of Grey outside of the commercials and the hype that I hear. So I don't know how closely the Sunstone is going to be towards
pretty
that.
Pretty graphic.
Yeah.
My daughter asked for those books for Christmas. I'm like, that's
whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa.
And my wife bought them for her. And I'm like, wrapping Christmas gifts? And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I'm like skimming through it. I'm like, aren't these like terrible? Like, I don't even know. But I'm like, aren't these like raunchy? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Whatever. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Dad.
Because I don't give a fuck.
Obviously.
But yeah, no, they're pretty crazy.
But
at times.
Ultimately, though, it's a love story. It's a love story. Ultimately. And you know, part of love is sex. So it's not like it's like a weird situation to think about that. Like, oh, they're having sex. This is such a weird thing. Yeah, they're in love. So therefore, they have sex. So I really just like the art. The art is up my alley. Once again, Steven hit it on the nail for me. I love it. You know, just really good scenes like that. You know, such a common scene.
common. That's what I imagine.
You know, like she's just having a regular conversation with her. But yes, her legs are in the air and she's kind of, you know, has her boob on her ass as they're having a conversation. But they're talking about love and the things that they care about. And they have some really cool, like... like, I really like the little small touches, like the t-shirt I saw on here a little bit ago. I really like it. I would actually get it if I could find it. It basically says, the only straight thing about me is my jacket, and it has a straight jacket on the right next to that, underneath that, and I thought that was pretty funny. So anyways, it's just a really kind of coming into yourself book about your sexuality and being okay with that.
Okay.
I thought it was
and
cool.
And that is Leander legitimizing this shameless porn book. Thank you, Leander.
Yes, yes. I couldn't help myself. I saw two beautiful women in lingerie. I had to get in. I couldn't resist myself.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Do it, Lou.
All right, I got one. I got this book, The Empty, number one, mm-hmm. which is an Image book. A shadow line, I guess. Shadow line, is that like a subset of Image?
I guess.
Because it doesn't seem like regular Image fare, but yeah, I don't really know what's going on with this book. Maybe it's for kids. I don't know. So
what makes you say that? What about it?
The writing.
Okay,
so here's the thing, right? So it's like this tribe of people who like live in a desert, and they run across this like stranger, this like female stranger who looks completely different, speaks a different language, but eventually realize they speak the same language. So I guess the people are kind of like savages. Okay, so you don't know, like, it's one of my pet peeves is like people are trying to depict like a society that's like, you know, like a pre-industrial society, and everyone just like talks like an idiot. You know what I mean? It's like it's hard to tell if the writing is just really, really poor or if the writer is trying to come across that this is a, you know, a pre-literate society or something.
Sure.
But they would still have a language, even a simple language. Right. It's just someone trying to maybe imagine what a primitive language might sound like without having any real, like, knowledge of what a primitive language would have been like. So it just comes across as just really hard to read and like juvenile, I guess, or for kids. I don't know. I don't know who the target audience is. I didn't. I mean, the plot's not terrible. Basically, the stranger character comes from sort of like a utopia, and she's been kicked out of it for whatever reason. She has the power to grow food, which is a big help to the savages. But then there's like the, you know, cliche village elder guy who's like, this is black magic, you know, you and this other female character from the tribe who supports you. You have to get out of here. So the idea is these two ladies are going to quest together out in the, you know, desert and try to find, like, you know, a promised land or something like that. You know, not the most novel plot in the world, but, you know, not bad. But it's just like all the characters are cliche. The writing is very poor, either intentionally so or unintentionally so. And yeah, I don't know. The art's very like kind of anime cartoony-ish, which, I mean, it's good for what it is. I'm not really into it, but I can't say the art's bad. But the story and the writing just not really doing it for me. And they keep calling the stranger girl, the village elder keeps calling her a white devil, but they're all white. Everyone in the book is white. Everyone in the town's white. They're all white. I don't know. I don't get it. So
perhaps the black devil will show up later.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He's making that distinction, but no, literally every person is not only white, but like really white. Like there's no, they're not even tan. They live in a fucking desert.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about. So not recommended.
Not recommended.
The Empty. We don't do a lot of books we don't recommend.
Yeah, it's true.
We try to pick good things for the people.
I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something new. This one was on the shelf and it was number one, so I wanted to, you know, kind of see what I thought about the new book. But yeah, I can't really say I'm going to get number two.
Yeah,
I thumbed through it and I hated it instantly.
It took about.
I agree with you. Just
I like
that.
To give things a chance, but after about page three, I'm like, I see what's going on here.
So I have three more books, and it's not going to take long to review them. They were all pretty good, actually. And they're all not Marvel. I have The Nameless, number one, which is an Image book, and it is written by Grant Morrison, which is the big thing. Like, holy shit, Grant Morrison. And when he's on, and when he's off, I hate him. He's on in this book. This book, all these books, oddly, have to do with space, in a way. This has to do with space and dreams, and there's a character called the Nameless. He doesn't have a name. He gave up his name. He's fighting weird fish people through a dream. It is so weird. Very weird. But if you look through it, the artist is amazing because of the way they set up the panels. This book was really good. So this guy's trying to steal a key from this shrouded woman, and it affects dreams, and it's very strange. And you find out he's in dreams, he's out of dreams. It doesn't make a ton of sense because there's still more to be set up. But he ends up surviving this ordeal, and you find out that he, in the real world, is being kind of bred to go on this mission into space because there's this big fucking asteroid coming towards Earth that in 33 days is going to hit and absolutely annihilate the Earth.
Mm.
Everybody's going to find out about it soon, and they're going to start shitting bricks.
Right.
And he has been chosen to go, and for reasons I don't want to give away, to go to the moon and try to take care of this problem. It's a weird book, and you know it's a weird book from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell what's real, what's dreams, but the setup of the two worlds and the way that the book is formatted, I am interested to read more of it. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. Cluster, number one, is from Boom Comics. This was a pretty cool idea. The idea is you do something bad on Earth, you get a life sentence, whatever the case is, or you go to this planet and you get a 15-year sentence. They're going to work you like a dog. Basically, Earth has this other planet. They're trying to terraform it,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to make life on it. It's kind of like a desert kind of planet. There's other aliens on the planet that came after the humans, and they're trying to also take over the planet. So, you know, you're a criminal. We don't give two shits about you. You can go rot in our jail on Earth, or you can go up there and fight these fucking aliens and help us try to, you know, maintain hold. Sure. Of this planet. They keep blowing up their towers with their radios and stuff, and mm-hmm. they keep fucking everything up. So they're all prisoners, though. There's no walls. They have a thing called a punch near their heart. If, after 24 hours, you go too far away, it will just melt your insides.
Okay.
So, issue one, and there's other alien races that are on the planet that are good, that are criminals, that are helping towards this, and some of them are pretty cool. Your main character is somewhat of a celebrity. She's a minor celebrity. Her dad is somebody. So everybody knows her, and everybody kind of wants to fuck with her. But she's sort of badass. They end up getting a call to go stop these aliens from blowing up a tower. They completely fuck it up. People die like crazy. Tower blows up. They're stranded. And they don't know if they can get back to the prison within the 24 hours before mm-hmm. everybody just blows the fuck up. It's a very cool book. I like the art. It wasn't the most amazing thing I ever read, but I wasn't. It wasn't insulting. I enjoyed it, and it might be worth checking out.
Hmm.
But it, as far as if you like sci-fi, it's a pretty cool book. Very different
mm-hmm.
kind of imagery. And then my last book is a Valiant book, also a number one, called Divinity.
Yeah, just looking at this cover, this is an amazing cover.
Yeah, this book was great. I do want to read more of this. So, the idea of this book is there's a black man who was left on somebody's doorstep in Russia. So it's like the 40s, the 50s. It all has to do with the space race. And it's weird because they show racism differently in Russia than they would in the U.S. Like, they'd mention, like, hey, you know, Martin Luther King, like, they make notes of this stuff happening, and, like, nobody gives a shit in Russia. They're like, whatever, you're black, I don't care. I don't know if that's how it actually was. That's how it is in this book.
Yeah, they're too busy being racist against the, against the Jordanians.
Maybe that's it.
Or the Jordanites.
Jordanites! Wasn't that a New Kid on the Block?
No, Georgia. The Georgiaites.
The Georgiaites. Jordanite was a New Kid. I don't know if that's true, it just sounds right. So this guy is part of the space program, and what you find out is, and it's in our kind of world where it's like, yeah, we're trying to go to the moon, they have a secret space program, and he is like this black baby grows up to be this guy that's like, he's the top of the class, he's the guy they're going to send out. And I don't know if black is important as far as racism in this story, I'm not quite sure yet, but this guy is so amazing, they're like, fuck the moon. We're trying to send you as far out into space as we humanly can. You figure out shit out in space, you come back amazing, and you come back to us. So they're like, fuck the moon. We don't care about the moon. And they have figured out a way to keep him alive to survive a 30-year journey out into space and then come back. So it's a little weird because you realize he was sent out. They introduce you to people in his life, the people he's abandoning. They're showing you the program. You understand, okay, this is what they're after. And then it skips ahead, and you're like, oh, he's back. And he seems kind of godlike. He's floating. Mm-hmm. It's really... He still has this weird cosmonaut suit on. He ends up in Australia. There's a guy who, like, he tries to help, who falls off a cliff and kind of hurts himself. And you're kind of like, did he end up saving him? Did he bring him back to life? Was the guy dead? You don't really find out a lot of answers, but this guy came back from deep space, and he is in current time, 2015 now, and he's like a deity-looking guy. So he has some powers, and whatever he found in space is pretty fucking cool.
That sounds awesome. That plot sounds
I was blown away by how good it was, and like it was on the comic shop news that you get for free in your comic book stores, the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. Shameless plug. It was on the cover, so I'm like, I want to check this out. And I was like, fuck, I forgot to order the book. But I didn't. I did order the book, so it was in my bin. So Divinity was really good. Nameless is really cool. Cluster was really cool. Divinity is the big winner, but they were all pretty decent.
Nice.
So it just comes down to your preference. Check out the art. See what you like.
Well played.
Cool.
Anything you guys want to throw out there before we call it?
Let me plug actually just highcouncil.net. It's our High Council Heavy Metal, my band's website. We have a free album for download. It's called No Further Questions. If you just go to that site, you can follow the links and download it for free. And if you like that, pay for the other ones.
Very nice.
Anything you want to plug?
Well, good. Nothing I got.
All right.
Well, see you guys next time.
There it is. Do you love them?
No, not today.
Not today. How? Wow. Except for Joe. We love you, Joe.
We love you, Joe.
Later, Joe. Except for Joe.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash can!